This is Limitless Possibility. I'm Luc Olivier Dumeblay.
And I'm Yannick Magnan.
And before I ask what will be our topic this week, I would like to mention that I have a weird voice for this week because I'm sick.
Celebratory though, weird voice.
Yeah. But like we mentioned on the last episode, this episode is pretty special.
It is. It's our 1 year anniversary.
Yay! So we are now 1 year old, which is weird to say, but...
Yeah, well, I think we've still spent more time not doing a podcast than doing a podcast in terms of the amount of time we had the idea to start a podcast and we weren't podcasting. But I'm glad that we've actually managed to pull off a year with basically no interruption. I mean, it's episode 26, so multiply that by 2 and that's 52.
Yep, and as far as I remember, the first episode was around the 21st, 22nd, and we are recording on the 22nd.
Nice.
So I think we are like close to our 1 year anniversary. I think I might be able to check before the end of the podcast. Speaking of podcasts, what's our topic this week, Nick?
It's podcasting.
Oh!
The topic you've been trying to avoid all this time has finally caught up to you.
Indeed. And funny enough, maybe some of our listener, rare listener, were bugging us to make an episode about podcasting. So,
yeah, it's one of the two most requested things that I get personally from people I know who listen to it. So I'm glad that we can knock that one off. I'm not going to spoil what the second one is because I want to wait for the episode before spoiling it.
That's a good idea. So before we start, I know that you have some follow-up.
Yeah, very briefly. So on episode 20, I talked about Vaporwave. And during that episode, I mentioned Telepath, who had recorded a 31-track, 15-hour album called Virtual Dream Plaza. And I've been doing a lot of work recently. And so I decided to put it on in the background, and I've managed to get through half of the album. And I just wanted to say, if you're like me and you find Telepath's music very good for concentrating when you're doing head-down work, it's really good as ambient background noise. The one caveat is that some tracks will be kind of whatever for like 28 minutes, and then it'll be really, really good for the last 3 minutes. Which is really strange to say something like that. And Telepath is another sort of project under his Virtual Dream Plaza alias underway. He is working on 31 tracks that are 31 minutes long, except this time with a China theme as opposed to a Japan theme. And currently 4 of them are released on his Bandcamp. Usually they release 3 at a time. So if you're interested in that project, I urge you to go check it out because it's really good. If you're into Vaporwave, of course. If you're not, well, sorry. Next up, episode 24 follow-up. That was the episode on Twitch and YouTube gaming. A lot has happened in, well, not just YouTube gaming, but also YouTube in general over the last week. So I'm going to start off with updates to YouTube gaming specifically. I mentioned on that episode that Twitch had an edge over YouTube gaming because they had what were called subscriptions, which let you encourage a specific channel you liked on Twitch. YouTube has their own analog to this now. It's called sponsorships. And you can do this and pay, I believe it's $4 a month to your favorite YouTuber, via YouTube gaming. So that is interesting. There is more related to YouTube monetization, but I'm going to put that aside just for a second while I continue these YouTube gaming specific things. YouTube gaming on Android now allows you to stream directly from your phone. So if you're playing Android games, you can stream directly to YouTube gaming, which is pretty cool because Twitch doesn't do that as far as I'm aware on Android. Twitch on iOS and on Android requires games to build the API into their apps. And, well, first of all, very few games seem to have the API built into them. But also, I have tried to integrate the API into certain apps via a jailbreak tweak, and I have found their SDK extremely buggy and not working. So I'm not sure what the deal is with that. But YouTube Gaming, because Google owns Android, they can just say, system-wide, we let you stream to YouTube Gaming with this new YouTube Gaming app. And this is close to my heart because last week I was streaming what is probably going to be Limitless Possibilities iOS Game of the Year, Downwell, via my MacBook Pro, and it was a crazy setup. And it would be really nice if ReplayKit, which is part of iOS 9, was able to stream directly to Twitch or YouTube Gaming.
It's funny that you mentioned that it is a Limitless Possibility iOS Game of the Year without me having playing it, but...
You should play it. It is basically the best iOS game maybe of all time. It's really good. Downwell, you should go buy it. It is only $3. I feel bad only paying $3 because it's such a great game. And I will put a video in the show notes of the furthest I've gotten in Downwell. It's a really addictive game. I played it for like 3.5 hours on stream. YouTube gaming streaming is supported in PS4 firmware 3.0, which is now available. So if you have a PS3? I mean PS4.
PS4.
Yeah. PS4 firmware 3.0 lets you stream to YouTube gaming. So I guess that's cool if you like YouTube gaming, but so far, not a lot of people have. Tangentially related is yesterday's announcement of YouTube Red, which is a subscription service. $10 a month if you're on Android, $12 if you're on iOS. Basically, it lets you get background play. So if you are listening to music on YouTube, like a lot of the kids are doing these days, you can just put YouTube in the background and it'll continue playing. Offline play, which is a highly requested feature. Their original exclusive series, similar to how Netflix does their original programming, except on YouTube. And what is really strange about this is Google is an ad company, but somehow the big feature of YouTube Red is that there are no ads. I'm not sure how they're trying to sell this to their advertisers, because it sort of hurts the value proposition of their ads if the people who are most likely to spend for things aren't seeing the advertising. But that's really strange. There's also a little bit of controversy with regards to YouTube Red among YouTubers, because if you refuse to agree to the terms of YouTube Red and you monetize your videos, you will see all of your videos removed from YouTube, which is not something you would like when that is sort of your job. So YouTube has content creators by the balls. That is what happens when you let someone have too much control of a certain market. And in terms of online video, it's basically a one-man shop right now. Presumably content creators will make more per user than they do with ads via Red, but it's unclear. And a side effect of YouTube Red is this YouTube Music app, which is basically the next vertical YouTube app, I would imagine, because there's YouTube, there's YouTube Capture, there's YouTube Gaming, there's YouTube Music. So they're unbundling the YouTube app. I am not entirely convinced that is the greatest idea, because all of these YouTube apps have wildly different UIs, and while that makes sense because they are wildly different kinds of content, you can also access them all from the YouTube app just fine, and it's still a better experience via the normal YouTube app, which, by the way, the normal YouTube app is complete garbage, but it's still better than YouTube Gaming or YouTube Music.
And I think at this point we will recommend our listener to listen again to our unbundling episode, which I don't remember the number on top of my head. But
yeah, I don't remember.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, so that is it for follow-up. So main topic is podcasting. As I said earlier, this is a topic that I've been trying to push onto Le Calivier for a really long while now, except he says like it's too cliche and nobody likes talking about podcasting, which is true because it's sort of a meme in the tech podcast bubble that nobody likes listening to other people talk about podcasting, except everybody does it. And I thought that it would be a fitting topic for the anniversary. And on top of that, of course, everybody that I know has been asking me, when are you doing an episode about podcasting? So we sort of have to do this episode at some point. So it might as well be now when it's topical.
Yeah. And it's more an episode about how do we do our podcast and less about podcasting in general.
Yes. Although we will touch on broader things as it applies to our podcast.
Yeah, we will. But I think that was a trade-off I asked Yannick to do. It's like, let's make sure that's mostly about our experience.
Yeah, we don't want to shit talk other podcasts. There are plenty of other things you can go listen to on the internet if that's what you want to hear, but this isn't it. But before we get into the origins of how our podcast came to be, I thought it would be really interesting to ask each other how we discovered podcasting, because I don't actually remember ever hearing the story of how you came across podcasting, and that would be interesting to me.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But the problem is, it's kind of fuzzy in my mind right now.
Huh.
I guess my gut feeling would say that you suggested some podcast to me, maybe either the talk show or Hypercritical at that point, plus Savage Love. I know that you, I don't know if you're still a good fan, a great fan of it, but I am a big fan of Savage Love. And I would put those two podcasts as the podcast that helped me discover podcasting as a whole.
Okay, that's interesting. I do have some memory of talking to you about MacBreak Weekly a little earlier before those shows, because like the talk show, there was like the first season of the talk show before it was on 5x5 officially. There was basically like this one-off season, and I don't think that's the one you listened to. You only listened to it like after it was on 5x5.
Yeah, I started to listen to it when it was on 5x5.
Yeah. So I think maybe you were aware of podcasting a little earlier than that, except you weren't actively listening to them as much. Maybe that's fair to say.
It is fair to say. I think that what made me aware of podcasting were those two or three podcasts we just mentioned. The talk show, Hypercritical, and Savage Love, which I won't say strange, but it was kind of a unicorn in the podcasting industry at that time, because most podcasts were made by tech people for tech people. And as far as I remember, Savage Love is nearly 10 years old, or maybe even now 10 years old. Because if I recall correctly, it started around 2005, 2006.
Yeah, it was one of the really early podcasts to be basically, it's a sex advice podcast, but it has been around for a really long time. It was maybe like the first podcast for normal people. Maybe that's an overstatement, but it was one of the first podcasts for like normal people who aren't tech heads to get into, and that's interesting.
For the general public.
Yeah.
So what about you? Because you just mentioned that you have kind of, you add a lot of small memories about podcasting.
Yeah, so earliest memory I have of podcasting is hearing about it via an episode of The Screensavers on Tech TV, which for people who haven't known me for a really long time, I used to watch Tech TV and ZDTV back when it was called ZDTV religiously several hours a day when I was a kid. And one of my favorite shows was The Screensavers, which is maybe the geekiest thing that has ever been on television. Which was Leo Laporte and a co-host, originally Kate Bitello and later Patrick Norton, who were talking about geeky things. And it was a call-in show, and you could ask questions if you had tech issues or something. And they talked a lot about Linux and BOS, which you would never hear about on television these days. And near the end of the run of The Screensavers, because Tech TV got acquired by G4, which was basically, like, it became sort of a Spike TV station for gamers at that point. And we didn't have it in Canada. It was mostly a U.S. thing. But what I heard through the grapevine was basically that. It's Spike TV for gamers. And it was very clear that this show wasn't going anywhere and that they were going to cancel it because it was too geeky for their audience of dude bros who like Halo, basically. One of the hosts, Leo Laporte, basically made this this podcast called Revenge of the Screensavers, and then was very quickly told to change the name of his podcast because it had the Screensavers in it, which is silly because now he has a quite recent show on the Twit Network called The New Screensavers, and there's no issue because G4 Tech TV has since basically imploded on itself. Revenge of the Screensavers would eventually be renamed to This Week in Tech, which is arguably one of the biggest tech podcasts on the internet. So that was a big thing, and that was basically like the first podcast I listened to, like every week on a regular basis.
And I think now that you mentioned it, This Week in Tech and MacBreak Weekly. So MacBreak Weekly were the first, like, let's call it shows for now, that I, let's, it was the first name that I heard that was referred as do you know this podcast or video podcast? Because most of them are just video stuff.
Well, at the time, those episodes were, the video ones were special. They weren't regularly video. Now they're just all video because he's streaming all the time on his website. But at the time, only like specific live shows were video. And they experimented with video quite a bit back in the day. And they did less so when it became sort of a business and less of a hobby. And now they're just video all the time. But MacBreak Weekly, I think, was the first or second spinoff show in the Twit network. Because originally it was just Twit. And then Alex Lindsay, which was a frequent co-host of Twit, he has the Pixel Core, which is another company which does creative and graphics training videos and all that. And they had their own video series called MacBreak, which was basically a semi-regular series of Mac tips on video. And then when they decided to make a weekly audio version of the show that was much longer and was a panel discussion on Apple News, that became MacBreak Weekly, which basically is the show that I listened to probably the longest of all of them until I stopped listening to them a couple years ago. Along the way, I experimented with having my own podcast several times, but basically every attempt had maximum one episode and then it sort of quickly died. But I think I've had like two or three other attempts at podcasts in the past that quickly went to the wayside. And really what cemented my podcast listening habit was the talk show with John Gruber, which I want to say that I got into it around the time of the iPhone. So that was basically the first gen show that you probably haven't heard. I think it's on thetalkshow.net or something. It's still up there. And it was Dan Benjamin and John Gruber talking about the Apple News of the week or so. And there's an episode which is entirely about keyboards, about the Apple extended keyboard too, which is very amusing. And
you're right. It is at thetalkshow.net. And the first episode was on June 28th, 2007.
Yeah. So it's like their first impressions of the iPhone, right?
Yes. They discussed the impending release of the iPhone, and it ended in October 2009. And then they said that the later update that the talk show is back at 5x5 in July 2010.
Yeah, so that was like not the first podcast that I listened to, but it was really one of the podcasts that I really made me pay attention to more podcasts than just what I was listening to at the time. Because as you said, it grew into it became part of the 5x5 network. And around the time that we started college, many, many more shows were launching on the 5x5 network that were very, very important, I would say, to the tech podcast bubble we live in. Shows like Back to Work, Hypercritical, Build and Analyze with Mark Arment. These shows would really cement the position of John Siracusa and Mark Arment as being like tech podcasters, like really important people in the community. Whether you agree with them or not, those are really good shows to listen to. And everything spiraled out of control from there. And I would be lying if I said that there isn't a bit of inspiration that came from the 5x5 shows in particular, maybe more so from Hypercritical than from the others, at least for my part, because I'm a whiny person. But
oh my goodness,
we'll have more on that later. But that's sort of what made us think about getting to our podcast. But the origins of our podcast are actually a lot more complex than that, because we actually have some background into that from earlier on.
My goodness, you're about to mention what I, oh, that's
yes,
nice.
So as I believe we've mentioned previously, Dikotivi and I went to high school together, and one of the things we did in high school is we were part of the high school radio station, which was not actually a radio station. It was just broadcasting within the rec rooms that we had over there. But we were in charge of broadcasting shit on the air.
Yeah, and you're right when you say broadcasting shit on.
It yeah. was maybe the worst content we could probably pump out. I remember vividly that one time we played the Phoenix Wright orchestral album and we had people knocking at our door saying, "What the hell are you doing?" And we had to hide under the table because we didn't want people to know that we were actually in there.
That was all. I remember this dinner break and it was so awesome.
Yeah, so one of the cool perks of that is we had the studio to ourselves during the lunch break, and we could basically go there and use it as a home base for all the evil plans we had, including taking over the school network, which was fun.
Which kind of happened.
Yeah. Whoops. but yeah, so that was sort of the genesis of it all, really, is we wanted to sort of do something on the air together. And unfortunately, because we're a bunch of nerds and everyone else in school was not necessarily a nerd, our interests didn't necessarily align with what people wanted to hear. So the show that we broadcast was more often than not trying to cater to their needs than ours. And as a result, it wasn't exactly what we would have liked, let's say.
Yeah, and for the general public need, we had a Xi software that ran on Windows, which was created by some Quebec company to properly distribute music on MP3 files while keeping DRM and having the right licenses to broadcast music. Because yeah. as most of you may know, there's a different license when you buy music on iTunes, and this license, it's just like, it gets revoked the second you broadcast that music over the air or even at some events, which I know tons of people do. We always organize a party and play music and blah, 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 or just go to a public event and we know that somebody has his iPod or laptop plugged in. But those licenses was also part of the problem with why we tried to do other stuff, because we were supposed to receive one CD containing the latest new music for that month, or for me, for the last month, because they were always late. But what ended up happening is we didn't receive any CDs. So we had the initial library of maybe like, I don't remember the number of tracks.
I want to say it was like 500.
Yeah, it was below 1,000 songs. So we could play those knowingly that, yeah, after maybe 2 or 3 months, people will start catching up that it's the same fucking 500 songs. But yeah, we tried to do our nerdy stuff and it didn't work.
Yeah, and the other issue is people were coming to us and requesting these songs that we didn't have. And there were two possible solutions to that. You could have done like us and tell them, no, we don't have that song and we can't play that song because we respect the rules. And you could do like other kids who had shows on different days. And what they would do is they would just, well, unplug the audio output from the PC and plug it into their iPod and just play their own music. And basically, we were wasting our budget on this software that nobody was really using and enjoying in the end.
Yeah, and obviously, we did end up doing that for one dinner, which was the incident that Yannick referred.
And it was the best thing we ever did.
Oh my goodness, it was so happy. It was so funny. I just remember one of the studio and console person coming in and it's like, guys, come on. Come on. You just want trouble now. I'm like, doing nothing. And it's like, okay, fine. Now that you come asking it politely and not just being a douche, because all of the other people that came were just being douche and be like, we want hip hop. We want that. So, yeah.
Yep.
High school, never forget.
Yeah, but anyways, after high school, we started going to get coffee more regularly, like on a quarterly basis. And I would say even maybe after college, it was even more frequent when you moved out of town and we didn't see each other as much. You came maybe on a quarterly basis and we went out to get coffee and have conversations about the stuff that we had heard about on other podcasts and we wanted to talk about. And eventually it sort of became, yeah, these conversations are pretty good. Maybe we should just start our own podcast. And I think it took like a year and a half of just like joking around that we were going to make a podcast before we actually said, no, we really should make a podcast.
Yeah, I kind of teased about it in the last episode because I think, yeah, maybe for nearly 18 months, it was the meme of our meeting up. It's like, oh, yeah, obviously today we'll speak about stuff that will interest us that we should record.
Yeah.
And then around October 2013, 2014.
Yeah, I got my mic Christmas 2013. You bought it Black Friday that year because it was on sale.
Yeah, and what happened around that time, it was 2014, not 2013.
No, it was 2013.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because last year it was 2014.
Yeah, but the podcast is 1 year old, not 2 year old.
Yeah, but it was technically supposed to start in January.
Oh, right now I remember. See, now I remember. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I got my mic at Black Friday, you're right. You got yours from your parents, if I recall correctly, for Christmas.
Yes.
We recorded an episode or two from your place.
Right. So you came over, we recorded one episode face-to-face, and we had not figured out the logistics for the setup at all yet. So it sounded like complete and utter crap. And that is not an episode that we've released publicly. Just because getting it to not sound like garbage is an incredible challenge, and I don't think we can do anything salvageable without audio. What we have released was an episode that we did 3 or 4 months later when I came back from Japan, which was episode 8 of this podcast, which we recorded in April because it was about my dead Mac, and it died in that month.
Yeah, and this one was recorded in April 2014.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there was again a long hiatus after that, a second pilot, let's call it this way.
Yeah.
And then I attended Singleton that year.
And then nothing happened until October.
Yeah, which Singleton happens in October. So Singleton is a tech conference happening that happened in Montreal for 4 years, if I recall correctly. Yeah, it was the fourth edition in 2014.
Yeah.
And after getting out of that conference, I was like, Yannick, we need to start a podcast now.
Yep.
And we started the podcast last October, and now we are recording our 26th episode, and I'm so happy about it.
Yay. So now we're going to go into detail about how we actually do this podcast, starting out with our fabulous microphones, which are Blue Yetis.
There's nothing else to say about microphones.
Well, I'm going to take a little break and say something about microphones, which is you can get incredibly anal and analyze every facet of a microphone, but please realize that in the end, you are exporting files that are 64 kilobits per second MP3s that are going to be broadcast over the internet as a compressed medium. And that maybe you shouldn't be putting that much attention into the tiniest little details of the quality of a microphone. What is arguably more important than that is how you edit the podcast. And you can actually notice it in big leaps if you go and listen to like episode 8 or episode 1 and then listen to something we've done today. The quality has gone up substantially, and we have not actually changed anything in our setup, just how we've edited the show.
Yeah, even if we start from episode 1 to this episode, our mic technique got improved, our editing technique got also improved, and it made a big change. We're now being able to exploit the capabilities of those microphones, and they were not that expensive. I think I got mine for like 50 or 75 Canadian dollars.
I think they're like $100 normally, yeah.
Yeah. So those are pretty cheap and way better than just a normal like iPhone microphone.
But like you can go out and buy these insanely expensive mics and mixers and preamps and all of that stuff and try to raise the quality of your podcast. But ultimately, first of all, lots of people don't care about sound quality. There was an article on The Onion yesterday, which you linked me. Podcaster makes solemn promise to improve sound quality next episode. Yeah, there are lots of people who listen to podcasts with absolutely abysmal sound quality. I listened to the episode of, I think it's called Star Talk Radio, where Neil deGrasse Tyson interviewed Edward Snowden. And I am not kidding. I thought they were vacuuming in the background behind the entire thing. And this is a podcast with like hundreds of thousands of listeners here. And people listen to it because what is valuable to them is the content and not necessarily the audio quality. On the other hand, there are podcasts that I absolutely love the content of that infuriate me because of how bad the sound quality is. See also Rental Circulation, which is one of my favorite gaming podcasts, except, well, A, they can't hold a schedule for shit. So sometimes it goes like 3 months. You have to wait until the next episode. And also because I don't even know if it's really edited for real or if they just trimmed the start and the end of the podcast off, which is entirely believable to me, but the sound quality is just terrible and it is painful to listen to in certain cases. So people will stick around if the content is good. They don't care as much about sound quality as you think, but we think that it is important for our brand, for our sound quality to be good, because oh, well, at the very least, I'm a picky asshole. And I would be very, very angry if our sound quality was bad.
And same here. Like, I listen to some podcasts that I really love. And once in a while, they have a shitty episode because they are on the road or something. And it's fine once in a while. But if it were every week, every episode, I'm sure we'll just unsubscribe from it.
Yeah. So speaking of editing, let's talk about how we do our editing. This is the big secret.
You mean how you do the editing?
Well, yeah. Okay. So anyway, we record the show via Piezo, which is an application by Rogue Amoeba, which basically records the audio off of processes on your computer. So I run it on my end, Decodeview runs it on his end, and the interesting thing it does is the left channel, I believe, is your own microphone, and the right channel is the Skype call, basically.
Or any other application of your liking.
Yeah, and what we do is we split those channels, and then we have basically this mono track of each of us, and then I just take each file, mine and his, and we just align all the tracks together and mute the Skype tracks. And then all of that works like magic. It's not always perfect because, of course, if you have a very, very long show, what happens is drift, where computers aren't running at exactly the same speed all the time. So it is entirely possible that my computer is running at a slightly different speed than Nicolavie's is with regards to how it's recording, and things get slightly off sync. So if we go longer than, say, an hour, I have to go in there and resync the audio. Usually I do this like by cutting off at a silence and saying, okay, starting from here, I'm going to resync the audio to ensure that we aren't talking over each other at the end of the episode. This was extremely problematic with the episode about the Apple Watch, where I had to resync, I think, two or three times throughout the entire episode.
Yeah, but that episode was really long, too.
Yeah, it was like 2.5 hours. So the software I use for editing is mostly Audacity. Audacity is terrible, but it is free. And this is very important for people who are lazy like me and who are not making a tremendous amount of money anymore like me. But the other thing is I'm not convinced that paying would necessarily get us any noticeably better results, which is another thing that adds friction. I haven't played with Logic in a really, really long time, but I am not convinced that the noise reduction built into Logic would necessarily be better than what is in Audacity, and therefore I am less compelled to buy Logic than I would to keep using Audacity.
I think I would say that I'm sure that the tools in, for example, Logic are way better than the one in Audacity. The only difference is I don't think it will make a difference for our needs.
Yeah, I don't know. But we'll see about that someday if we actually buy Logic. Another weird side note is everybody loves to hear that I keep wanting to use the iPad more for work and stuff like that. I would love to go all iOS for podcast editing. In fact, I have considered it. The problem is, well, twofold. First of all, there are no trials on iOS. Lol. But it's actually sort of a problem for audio editing because audio editing software is really expensive. And I don't actually have confidence that these audio editors, that which are made primarily for music production, have all of the tools that we need to actually get our podcast out to an equal or better quality than what we are putting out right now, which is worrisome for me. The other thing is, of course, I know that Aria, which is currently the most popular audio editor on iOS, they are working on a new paid upgrade. So I am not buying Aria right now because I'm waiting for the paid upgrade to see if it's actually going to be any noticeably better. And if I were to buy it now, well, I'd have to pay for it again anyways in a couple of weeks. So we're taking some time off from the iOS project right now. So here are the steps that we go through during editing. This is going to sound incredibly stupid if you don't care about editing, but the interesting thing is you'll see that it's not actually that hard to make a quality podcast that sounds good. So first of all, we do the syncing that I mentioned. Then I do noise reduction, which is very important because there is background noise right now, which I can hear. And sometimes there is noticeable background noise in Nicole Vieille's audio, though recently it's not been as bad because we've been trying to get rid of it. Then we slap a compressor on the audio, and then we're basically done. We just started adding another step a couple episodes ago, which is truncate silence, because the problem with Skype is sometimes you're waiting on the other person's audio to come in, and that adds awkward pauses to our conversation. And if you want to keep the conversation at a more natural pace, it is better to truncate silence than to have long and awkward pauses. The side effect of that is if you are actually trying to do a dramatic pause for comedic effect, it gets cut out by the truncate silence thing, unless I manually crop it out, which I often forget to do. So
yeah, and if I recall correctly, that may sound weird to say, but I think the magic number for silences between humans is like 125 milliseconds. After that, you start to be like, okay, there's something wrong in that conversation.
Yeah. Anyway, the final trimming and setting the metadata on the file I do in Fission, which is another Rogue Amoeba app, which I got Piezo and Fission for sale as a bundle, which is why I am very happy that I can use those two tools together. And then we go put it on the CMS, which is custom rolled. So the CMS is called Orion. It was originally written by me, but most, if not all, subsequent updates have been by Ducarivier because he wants to learn web programming stuff.
Yeah, and we touched that a lot in the past episodes. Since Yannick is doing the editing, I'm kind of the web manager of this website, and I did some tweaking, always adding new feature on it, which some of it, most of us, you didn't see, but the maintenance every 2 weeks is done by me, and that's probably it. And like I mentioned in the past episode, all of the updates are done via my beloved iPad. At least part of our setup is now iOS only.
Yay. Yeah, so the reason we custom rolled our CMS as opposed to using something like Squarespace, which lets you host podcasts directly, or there are a couple other podcast hosting services out there, is we wanted to have a CMS independent of where we choose to host the podcast files, so that if we ever, for some reason, decide to go to a different hosting provider for our podcast files because it's cheaper or because it's faster or we have some kind of disagreement with a hosting company or something, we can just reroute the URLs to those files and everything will be seamless. Whereas if you go to something where the CMS is tied in with the hosting for your podcast files, you've got an issue with where sometimes podcast clients will cache the feed, and if you change the URL of the podcast in the feed, you either get duplicate entries or you simply don't update on those things. So really weird things that can happen because of the wide variety of things that happen in podcast land. And this way we are able to guarantee that the URL that is in the feed is always correct. It's going to be http://limitlesspossibility.net/dl/the-episode-number, which redirects you to wherever we choose to host it.
Yeah, and I think also part of that decision, at least for me, it was a big part of agreeing with you on a CMS being independent of where we host a file, is that at least for now, it is really, 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 really cheap for us to run the website and all of the hosting of files. So it can give us the opportunity to be tiny and grow small, like, and grow the podcast, if you will.
Yeah.
So if our needs are growing, we can just now move them to somewhere else, which will be able to help us with our bigger needs.
Yep. And we still get to keep our entire CMS instead of having to rebuild everything on a new base if we decide to move the site, which is nice. And of course, if we choose to have any weird, like if any RSS tags get added for new podcast features, we can just support them right away as opposed to having to wait for our CMS vendor to implement it themselves and then rolling out. So that's cool. I would like to end this show by recommending, well, first of all, podcast apps. Because
before we do that, I would like to touch on another subject related about the podcast.
Sure.
Is maybe the style of podcasts we're currently doing, you and I.
Yeah.
We have decided that for each 2 weeks, one of the hosts will provide with a subject. And we've been pretty good with it. These days, I'm having hard issues to find a topic. So obviously, next week, I'll have yet again big problems to find a topic. And 2 days before the recording, I'll just find one, write some notes, and go on for an hour. But what we like about our style, and let's put it just like two people, like X number of people talking about one subject, is it gives us the opportunity to just blabber. And we love to blabber.
Yeah, it's really fun to just get on and talk about whatever. And like we try to, with the description of the podcast, to try and say it's mostly going to be tech related because we work in tech related spheres and tech is actually quite an interesting topic. But we're not limiting ourselves to that. So if language learning, for example, becomes more interesting in 1 week, then I can talk about that. And we don't really have any limit. In fact, it's a limitless possibility of topics.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But yeah, we touched a different subject. Obviously, we're touching a lot of technology, especially Apple tech, because that's where our passion is. But like Yannick just mentioned, he spoke about his learning new languages experience. I spoke about cars because I love cars. And we wanted that flexibility. We didn't want it to be only about tech because, let's be honest, there's tons of podcasts about tech. And
yeah.
Sometimes, yes, we do have different opinions than those podcasts and those people doing those podcasts. But in the end, we might end up saying the same shit. And that's not what we want to do. We want to have different content, and this format helps us and provide us the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I was trying to explain podcasts to someone else the other day, and I was saying, like, I listen to so many podcasts that are effectively, like, two or three white dudes talking about technology about the same exact topics that two or three other white dudes are talking about on another podcast. And I'll listen to, like, five different podcasts of two or three white dudes talking about the same exact tech subjects because they'll each have a unique voice on that topic. And some weeks we will actually talk about the same topics as those five other podcasts because we think we have something interesting to deliver on that topic. If we don't, then that's fine. We can always talk about anything else, and that's great. And I think we are occasionally topical with our subjects, but we don't try to be topical. So we just pick whatever seems to be most interesting to us at a given time and stick with it. Now, sometimes we actually do try to coordinate topics with certain events. For example, the EOS postmortem was pretty much coincided with like a month after EOS went on sale or something. And we do have one or two episodes with regards to a specific thing that will happen in the future that are already being planned. But like, it's not something we really worry about that much. And we're never a slave to news coming out that week. Like, we try to pick the most interesting thing for that week and not necessarily what is topical that week.
Yeah, I think our most top topical episode where the, I think we did only two or three episodes that were about the Apple events.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, recommended podcast app?
Yeah, this is going to be basically pretty dumb, but I know a lot of people who listen to our podcast do so with the default podcast app on iOS, and I am here to tell you that that app is barbaric and terrible, and you should be using something else. And I have three recommendations for podcast app that you should be using.
Wait. Before we start about the recommendation, I want to say also that, oh my goodness, what is that? Sorry about that. I just wanted to mention that for a long time, I was using the podcast feature of iTunes and was syncing podcasts from my iTunes library to my iPhone. And then after a while of me saying to Yannick, oh no, I didn't listen to that episode yet because it's not synced on my iPhone, Yannick just gave up and gifted me Instacast, which is sadly dead now. But
yeah, it got killed by the app that I'm going to recommend now, which is Overcast. So Overcast is great if you are a podcast power user who prioritizes user experience to settings. And the reason that Instacast died is that overnight, when Overcast came out, everybody who was using Instacast, because it was exactly for that demographic, switched to Overcast. And then the developer was already flailing to try and make money because he was trying to charge for paid upgrades basically every year. And after a certain point, like the update, the users of the app, mainstream users of the app basically decided, no, I'm not going to pay for your app on a yearly basis. And that basically also coincided with Overcast's release. So everyone just switched to Overcast anyway. And it just accelerated its death. And now if you go to Vimedio's website, they basically don't exist anymore, which is sad because it was a really good app. But again, I switched to Overcast just like everybody else because Overcast is a better app.
They also add a good Mac client. I haven't used it, but from what I heard about it, it was pretty good.
When the sync worked, it was great. Yeah. But that is a problem for a lot of people. If you are a basic user who is using the default podcast app on iOS because you want something basic, stop using the podcast app, and B, go get Castro. The only asterisk I would put to that is Castro 2 is apparently coming out soon. So if you don't want to spend your money right now, wait for Castro 2 to be out. But Castro is a really good client if you want something bare bones, and I would recommend that.
Bare bone and pretty.
Yeah. And if you're a crazy person who likes knobs and levers, then go get Downcast. It is incredibly ugly. I can't say it works very well if you like a good user experience, but if you like having those settings, it is arguably the only app out there with a crazy amount of settings for you to tinker with if you want that kind of stuff. Basically, back in the day, whenever I recommended Instacast or Overcast to someone and they said, this has not enough settings, I recommended them to Downcast and they were like, yeah, this is perfect. So that is worth checking out. I should mention that Overcast very recently became free with patronage, which is a whole other topic of itself. And we're not going to go into that topic this episode because we don't have enough time for that. But
yeah, we don't want to go there.
No. But it is a free app now for all the features, so you can go and download it and enjoy the full feature set of Overcast. And the other ones are, Castro is paid up front, I believe, and Downcast is also paid up front. I don't remember the prices, but those are our recommendations. Yeah, there will be links in the show notes. Last but not least, I wanted us to recommend three podcasts that fans of our podcast might enjoy.
Oh.
And I think you should go first.
Oh, wow. You wanted me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So, obviously, most of the podcasts I listen to are tech podcasts, but I have one recommendation for each topic of podcast I listen to. So I'll start with a new addition on my podcast list is the Smoking Tire podcast, hosted by Matt Farah, Zach Kaplan, Chris Hayes, Nitro Coretto, and Tad Brown. So obviously it's, I'll put it this way, like this podcast is, imagine Yannick and I, in a studio with a table mic in the middle, and we just speak about cars for 2 hours. So it's really, really casual, but it's really nice. And they just speak about news, recent news in the car industry, or recent stuff that they have been doing. For example, Matt Farah is having his own YouTube channel and website, which is called The Smoking Tire, but they're also working with the Drive Network and other networks too. So they always have a funny story to tell, and that's pretty nice if you're a car enthusiast. The next on my list, I mentioned it at the top of the show, is Savage Lovecast. Another funny story about Savage Lovecast is during CJEP, while we were working on our database of our database class, I had the good idea of listening to the back catalog of it. And like I mentioned, we're now at episode 469. And I can tell you that I listened to all episodes with an asterisk. And the asterisk is, recently they started to be a subscription podcast. So they always have the free version, which is a little bit shorter. Less, they answer most of the question, and they have one guest. And in the Magnum episode, they will have more guests, a little bit more question answered, and obviously no ads. And the main problem that I didn't jump on the subscription, because I seriously really love Savage Lovecast, and the main reason why is most of my podcast land don't support authentication feeds. Authenticated feeds. If I recall correctly, Castro doesn't support it. Obviously, Overcast doesn't support it. And even in the past, I think while I was still using Instacast, didn't add that subscription model.
I am not entirely certain of this because I signed up at the very, very beginning of the Savage Love Magnum thing, but I don't actually think it uses authenticated feeds. I think it just uses a really long URL that you have to guess.
Oh, that's something I didn't know. So maybe I should jump on the subscription.
You should look into that.
Yeah, but at least I've listened to all of those 469 episodes. And seriously, Savage Love is a really, 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 really good love and sex advice podcast. Obviously, they are touching and some subject that might put some people uncomfortable. So I won't quote Dan because Dan has a crude language sometimes, even worse than ours.
Sometimes?
Yeah. Let's just say sometimes. But that's what I love about him. He's just always honest with people and sometimes making fun of you. And he's pretty honest about that. Is you call him, and if you're calling with a stupid question, he will tell you that it's a stupid question. And that's what makes the show so great. Lastly, that is my tech podcast, and that was pretty hard to choose, but I decided to go with Connected from Relay FM. So Connected is a weekly panel discussion on Apple and the technology, the impact of technology in our lives. It is hosted by Mike Hurley, Federico Vitici, and Stephen Hackett. And I would say that this podcast has become my favorite podcast. I will also do an honorable mention for the tech podcast, and this one will be the talk show. Obviously, the talk show with John Gruber. And I, so John will get a guest every week-ish. Yeah, it's every week. And they will blabber about the latest news or just tech stuff. And I really love this third iteration of the talk show, because we mentioned the first two, which was with Dan Benjamin from the 555 Network. This third one brings new people every week, or obviously there's some repetitive people, but it's pretty nice because you always have John, which is John, and you always have somebody new every week, and it brings a new opinion each week.
And the best ones are the ones with Joanna Stern.
Yeah, we're a big fan of Joanna.
Joanna's the best.
Indeed.
Is that
what about yours? Yeah. What about yours?
Okay, so for fans of my neuroses and how weird I can be on this podcast with regards to, let's say, stuff like not trusting the App Store or other weird habits like that, you should listen to Cortex with CGP Grey and Mike Hurley. CGP Grey, if you're not aware, is a YouTuber. He mostly does stuff either on geography or politics. But like, it's educational videos, not opinion videos. And they're really, really good. And it turns out that he is sort of a neurotic nerd, sort of like I am. And he has very strange opinions about how things should be done. And you should listen to that podcast if you want to hear what he thinks about it. People who think that I am weird and that the ways in which I am weird are fascinating should definitely listen to this podcast. That was a little bit of ego stroking there. For people who are citizens of the internet, in capital letters, and wish to know more about stories from internet culture, you should go listen to Reply All on the Gimlet Media website. Gimlet is a company that was founded last year by Alex Bloomberg, which is formerly from This American Life, which is a big public radio show you probably have heard about. And it is a really good public radio style, but not for public radio show, which focuses on stories from the internet every week with PJ Vogt and Alex Goldman. Yeah, I keep mixing the names up. And if you are a gamer, you should listen to the 8-4 Play podcast, which is a similarly to our show. It's every 2 weeks, and it is a really good recap of the last 2 weeks in gaming news. And you should listen to this if you are too lazy to read all of the gaming blogs every 2 weeks. Instead, you just get like this mass digest of what's cool in the gaming world from the last 2 weeks. And I do have an honorable mention, and the reason it's an honorable mention is because it is only half in English, and that is Bilingual News, which is an English-Japanese podcast which focuses on the week's science news. It's a really, really good podcast. There's the host, Michael, which speaks in English, and there's the host, Mami, which speaks in Japanese. And they actually have a conversation about the news stories that they talk about, except each host basically only speaks their language. And they both understand each other, but they just reply in the different language. And it's very strange because sometimes I'll listen to that around other people and they will say, like, what are you listening to? They're speaking two completely different languages. So that is very entertaining. And it is very good listening comprehension if you are learning Japanese, or I suppose, I mean, the intention of the show is the opposite. It's for people who are in Japan who want to learn English. But it also works the other way around. And they have an app with an in-app purchase you can go and buy to get weekly transcripts of the entire show and vocabulary lists if you wish to study with those shows. So it is invaluable if you are learning English or Japanese. And those are my three recommendations. 3.5 recommendations.
Yeah. Same with me. Hey, I guess this means that we have a podcast about podcasts.
Yeah, it does. So now we never have to broach this topic ever again.
Unless we want to mention something else too.
Yeah.
Good. So, yep. Like we mentioned a lot, this is the 26th episode of Limitless Possibility. So you'll be able to find the show notes at limitlesspossibility.net/26. Also, you can find the podcast on the internet at limitlesspossibility.net and also on Twitter at limipo_podcast. That's LIMIPO_podcast. You can find myself on Twitter at Lukonoche, LUCCONOUCHE.
You can find me on Twitter at Sakurina. That's SAKURINA.
See you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.